This is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio. Spirit of the Delaware Valley that you're about to hear was pre-recorded in March of 2020, just before COVID caused the shutdown of everything. It has since been edited and updated to reflect the upcoming Lenten season and performance by Mr. Thomas Lloyd and the Bucks County Choral Society with Symphony in C, performing A Time to Remember and Reimagine.
Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker with Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia and 1420 in Coatesville in Chester County, bringing to you another edition of Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me in studio is Mr. Thomas Lloyd, Choral Director of Bucks County Choral Society. Before we get going, though, as I always do, I would like to start with St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, Tom, how are you?
Great. Great to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you can make it. It's kind of a rainy, dreary day today, but Tom, tell us and our listeners of Holy Spirit Radio something about yourself and a little background, please.
Sure. I'm celebrating my 20th year as Artistic Director of the Bucks County Choral Society, and I taught for 22 years at Haverford College, Director of the Music Program for Haverford and Bryn Mawr's Choirs, and I'm still currently and have been for 10 years Director of Music and Arts, or Canon for Music and Arts, at the Philadelphia Episcopal Cathedral. I've done a lot of ecumenical and interfaith work there as a cantor, composer, choir director. And the Choral Society is unique in that, well, like many choral societies, most of the great repertoire that we sing is sacred and from the Christian tradition. But we are not a church choir. We are not affiliated with any church or denomination, and both the members of the choir and our audience, we have a don't ask, don't tell policy. Your religious faith or lack of same is a private thing and not involved in your qualification to come to a concert or to sing with the choir.
Oh, that's wonderful. So very ecumenical, it sounds like. Very open and, I guess, receptive of many different people and whatever their faith background is or their background in general is. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And so when we do sacred works, I don't avoid the specific religious aspects of them. In fact, I, quite to the contrary, deal with those directly, but sort of in the way that a professor of religion would, that is, looking at religion as a human phenomenon with a very particular history and perspective, and then people can do with that as they will. And so I keep myself as a neutral observer and teacher in that, while at the same time people know that I'm an Episcopalian and that I've been a church musician for a long time. I was at one point early on a candidate for the priesthood in the Episcopal Church shortly after college and decided that my calling was in music and went back to music. So religion and spirituality has always been an important part of my life. And for the 20th anniversary season, I thought of composing a work that's called Appearances to be a companion piece to the Fori Requiem. The Fori Requiem, of course, is a Requiem Mass, setting of the ordinary texts of the Mass. And so Appearances is not only written for the same orchestration, which is low strings, harp, two horns, and timpani. Sort of, you could say, Requiem, the sequel, what happens next. It's about the resurrection appearances of the risen Jesus Christ to Mary Magdalene.
I did some research and I looked up, for example, you draw upon John 20, verses 1 through 10. But I looked those up as I was preparing for this. But what inspired you to actually write this piece? And how long have you been writing it in the composition mode?
It's been a project of about a year in duration, most intensively in the last few months, because initially you lay out the libretto and the structure and the basic ideas and the really time, and you have to allow time for that to gestate. And then there's the actual process of making music out of it and putting it together, and that detailed process takes a lot of time. But the subject matter of the resurrection, of death, and what life after death may be has been one that's always been fascinating to me and was an important part of an earlier work I composed, a choral theater work on the life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
I had read that as well.
Which The Crossing did a few years ago and was recorded and nominated for a Grammy Award.
Yeah, I saw that. Wow. What year was that?
2017. And that deals with life and death issues as well, because Bonhoeffer, of course, gave his life.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Right.
Yes.
A German theologian and pastor gave his life as part of the German resistance to the Nazi regime.
And so this upcoming Lent, so you're preparing, you and the Bucks County Choral Society, for this piece.
Right.
Fauré's Requiem, and with an adjunct or of your debuting of Appearances.
Appearances, right.
So do you want to maybe unpack a little bit more about that? And
well, let me say before I forget that the dates...
On Saturday, March 26th at 2 p.m. at Trinity Lutheran Church in Lansdale, PA. And Sunday, March 27th at 4 p.m. at Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Doylestown, PA. Tickets are $25 in advance and $30 at the door. There's some other detail before we close out, we'll reiterate all this and run it by you. So just want to get that out there, folks.
Yeah, and the orchestra is Symphony in C, which we started performing with last year for the Franck Beatitudes, which is what we were on the show about last year.
And that was beautiful. And that's what I went to.
Thank you.
Yeah. And
Symphony in C is made up of young musicians who recently graduated from Juilliard, Curtis, and Temple Schools of Music and are auditioning for full-time professional jobs and in the meantime doing a lot of gigging and through Symphony in C, a lot of performing. So they play at a really high level. They're very responsive, eager to do both old and new music.
And I want to give a shout-out to Milo Morris, who called me last year and said, "Hey, Dave, are you still doing that morning show?" And I said, "Sadly, no. Spirit in the Morning." So let's get back, Tom, to you want to talk about the appearances and kind of delve into that? Because that really struck me how, and you want to tie in, there were three saints that really you researched and read some of their works that I guess inspired you as part of your writing and composing.
Well, Mary Magdalene is an important figure in the Gospels, though we have very little that she actually spoke in terms of her words. So to go more deeply into that dimension, I looked to three medieval mystic women who were remarkable women who we have writings from that are available to us this day in translation and were quite ahead of their time, just in the way they were able to describe their mystical experiences of encountering Christ and articulating that in poetic language that is easier to get inside of than just didactic language.
Exactly.
And they were in three different parts of the world, or three different parts of Europe, really. Julian of Norwich was in what we now know as England. Teresa Avila was in Spain, and Hildegard from Bingen in what we now call Germany. And they weren't exactly contemporary. They were between them spread over three centuries. But their language is quite remarkable and evocative. And I set up the piece to be a kind of a dialogue between the soprano soloists or representing Mary Magdalene and singing words from the writings of these three women in three separate movements. And the choir, who speak the words of Christ, who speak other words in the scriptures, and some of the words of that are descriptive in nature. So it's as though the choir represents the voice of God, and Teresa the voice of humanity, trying to understand what the resurrection appearances mean.
Requiem many people are familiar with that term, but what is that all about? It's about a funeral mass, basically, or a funeral
or burial. Yeah, requiem literally means rest, eternal rest.
Eternal rest, yes.
Requiem aeternam, domino eis, domino, give unto them, O Lord. Mm-hmm. And Fauré's setting is much beloved, one of the most favorite settings there is of these texts, though it's not nearly as dramatic as, say, Verdi or Berlioz, both of which we've done, or even Mozart. Mm-hmm. It's a much less theatrical and more of a mystical, somewhat understated requiem. The Dies Irae doesn't happen as part of the sequence. He doesn't set the sequence text, which is the most famous text, mm-hmm. That long three lines per stanza poetry with a particular rhyme scheme that everyone knows about the last days, but he does include that text in the offertory, and he ends with a passage in Paradisum, which is actually from the burial rite, mm-hmm. And speaks of heaven. And so it makes a natural play into a piece that's primarily mm-hmm. contemplative in nature. Mm-hmm. The musical language is quite accessible. It's, you could say, tonal, though I use a lot of modes more than major or minor scales, modes that are derived from folk music mm-hmm. and other music to give a distinctive flavor. In fact, one section setting Teresa's words mm-hmm. that has a Spanish flavor to it.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait. Yeah, I did a lot of reading on this in the last couple of days, but I'm just struck by the language and just basically a lot of the verbiage as Tom just described. I mean, we hear that every time we go to a funeral, whether you know church music or you're just familiar with hearing that at a mass, a funeral mass. But it's not just in the Catholic Church. Correct, Tom? It's the Eastern Orthodox, they have similarities in Protestant, the Episcopal Church.
Yeah. Well, all Christian churches have rites for the dead, mm-hmm. Memorial services and so on, but the higher liturgical churches, so-called, the Catholics, obviously, the Lutherans, mm-hmm. the Episcopalians, and the Orthodox mm-hmm. have liturgies that are tied into the early Roman rite. Mm-hmm. Which was codified in Latin and the mm-hmm. prayers that grew from there in the Eastern Rite.
In the Vulgate.
Of course, from Slavonic.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're not, I mean, some scriptural passages are drawn on, but these are liturgical mm-hmm. texts
okay.
that have a life of their own, mm-hmm. Just like the ordinary, the Mass in Latin, mm-hmm. Quite parallel to that.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. Great explanation. So anything else you want to talk about appearances or?
Well, I mean, just to share a few smatterings of the texts, most of it is in English, but a few passages of St. Teresa's I leave in Spanish because they are of a nature that translation misses something. One at the end of the first movement, for example, says, alma, or soul, buscarte as en mi, seek yourself in me, and me, capital M for Christ, y a mi buscarme as en ti, and seek Christ mm-hmm. within yourself. Mm-hmm. So of sort of a circular reference of the
Absolutely.
Presence of Christ
yes.
within us, seeking the meaning of your own life in that larger context. I should mention that one of the writers important to me is an inspiration is Richard Rohr in the Franciscan tradition. I know he's somewhat controversial in mm-hmm. some areas, but his the Franciscan approach is very much reflected in a lot of these writings. The final one, third movement, closes with some lines from that same poem. She says, mira que el amor es fuerte. See how love is strong. Vida, life, no me seas molesta. Do not trouble me. Mm-hmm. Mira que solo me resta. See how, for me, it alone remains para ganarte, to find you, perderte, by losing you. And here she's referring to life. By mm-hmm. the only way to find my life is to lose it.
To lose
take up your cross mm-hmm. and follow me, which is parallel to that that first reading. And then finally, vivo sin vivir en mí. I live without living within myself. That is, I'm free from the bondage of myself. Y tan alta vida espero. And I hope, I so hope, tan alta vida, for a higher transcendent life, espero, that que muero porque no muero, that I die because I do not die. I die now in this life because I do not die in eternity.
Yes. We die on this earthly plane, and we go hopefully into eternity.
Right.
Yes, with Christ.
But the words are self-referential, pointing to something that you could meditate on without being confined by our normal everyday language.
And that basically from Teresa of Avila, from Vivo Sin Vivir and Me, correct?
Right.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited and that Tom is here and breaking this down for us. But I just invite you to basically take in this this performance, Fauré's Requiem and Appearances by Mr. Thomas Lloyd.
And one last line from Julian of Norwich.
Okay.
One of her most famous lines. He comforts readily and sweetly with his words, referring to Christ, meaning this: it is true that the sin we were born into is the cause of all this pain, but all will be well, and every kind of thing will be well.
Beautiful. Very beautiful, Tom. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find out more, where can they go? To the Choral Society website,
Tom? Yes, the Choral Society website has further information. You can even read the complete libretto and buy tickets for the discounted advance price. And the website is buckschoral.org, buckschoral.org. Mm-hmm. Or just search Google for the Bucks County Choral Society.
Absolutely,
right,
folks. Up. Any other thoughts you want to share with our audience? And this is so meaningful to you that you and with your gifts that God has endowed you with, music, composing, you want to share this new work with the world, correct?
Yes. Well, and I wrote it for this particular choir who has been so supportive of me for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And again, we are a choir that performs a lot of religious music without asking people whether they believe in a particular way or not. And in this case, I'm sharing with them my particular perspective, my particular faith journey, and at the same time teaching it to them in a way that says, do with this what you will, because belief is that Christ works in many ways.
Oh, absolutely. Not just one. There's not just one way, I mean, there's the way, Christ, right. But I mean, humanity, approach, because of our own upbringing and our early belief systems or no belief systems, but we have this still small voice oftentimes, talking to us or nudging us, urging us on, because saying, well, there's something more. There's just something more to this life.
Right.
And we're seeking, we're seekers, we're on a journey. So, but everybody approaches it differently. And then I have a question. So through many of your works and music, what kind of influences have you seen, or have people come up to you and shared, hey, like Tom, last year I heard, I heard that piece over at Guadalupe, and I just have to share with you that really helped me on my spiritual journey. Have you had moments like that?
Well, again,
that they shared a testimony or such?
Well, the choral performances for me occupy a unique place in between the concert hall and the church. As we know, for various reasons, because churches are made up of human beings, a lot of people have very traumatic experiences of churches, and it's really hard for them to enter in a church because of something that may have been said to them when they were young. And for concerts like we offer, sometimes that will be the only time they step into a church. And at the same time, as they're sitting next to people who are there every week, sharing the same space, no questions asked, and the issues that we are wrestling with, the spiritual issues that we're wrestling in with, and these three medieval women mystics were wrestling with, are common human concerns to wrestle with. The meaning of
Absolutely.
Life, our purpose in this world, and the answers are not easy, and we know, as St. Paul said, now we see through glass darkly, and only later face to face. And so
it's one of my favorites. Yes.
And so it's an intersection of the secular and religious world in a non-coercive way. And so I've had people from across those spectrums come to me afterwards after doing a particular piece, and you can tell that it spoke to them both in the same way and a different way from other people, from their particular place in their journey, something that the composer found originally reaches them and speaks to them.
This is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio. You're listening on 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia and 1420 in Coatesville in Chester County. We're listening to Mr. Thomas Lloyd from the Bucks County Choral Society talking about the upcoming Lenten work that he and Symphony in C. A wonderful ensemble, ladies and gentlemen. So mark your calendars for those dates and times, and come out to the Bucks County Choral Society performing Fauré's Requiem and the new introduction of Thomas Lloyd's appearances.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for coming in. And you're always welcome here at Holy Spirit Radio. And this is Dave Parker signing off for now, and hope you have a blessed Lent and have a great night and a good day tomorrow. The Bucks County Choral Society is committed to providing our dedicated patrons with as safe and enjoyable a concert experience as we can. To that end, please be aware of the following protocols for BCCS performances. Currently, patrons who attend will be required to show proof of vaccination, and masks are optional. If questions, go to www.buckschoral.org/tickets.